Good morning. Today's scripture is from Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 to 26, on page 1815 in your pew Bible if you want to follow along. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those that belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Jim. So last week, we looked at the gifts the Spirit gives, and we learned that it is the Spirit of God who determines which gifts to give to everyone. So whatever you have, whatever gift you have, is a gift. It's nothing that you came up with, nothing that you worked for. It's a gift, and it was given by the Spirit of God. So be content with it, be happy with it, don't envy other people's gifts, and use the gifts that you have. They are to be used for the benefit of the body of Christ. That's what we learned last week. We also learned that all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, the Spirit of God. And again, we were told that these gifts are given to us for the purpose of our growth, progress, and service to the Lord God Almighty. Last week, we also learned that these gifts produce fruit in us. And today we will look at that fruit. We will remember, we will examine what that fruit looks like. I don't know if you remember, the gospel tells us that you will know them by their fruit. So God wants us to look at the group, the fruit, because he wants us to know. He wants us to know. Who has the fruit of the Spirit is walking in step with the Spirit. And do we have the fruit of the Spirit? So here it is, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Think about yourself in light of that. Joy. Peace. Patience. Kindness. Goodness, faithfulness, loyalty. That's fruit of the Spirit. gentleness. Some people say, well, you know, that's just the way I speak. My mama was that way, or my daddy was that way. No, gentleness. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. And self-control. And then it tells us, against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. This fruit is fruit that shows in the life of a Christian who is growing in faith and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The fruit that we talk about can be seen, or that this passage talks about, can be seen in tangible ways. How you spend your time, what do you do, what do you read, what do you spend most of your time in? It can be seen in how you spend your money. Are you generous? Are you using your money wisely? Yes, that's part of the fruit of the Spirit. And in your talents, the way that you are using your talents for the Lord, it can be seen in the way you love people, your patience, your kindness. And against those things, there is no law. This is the fruit that shows that you are indeed growing, that you're not stuck, that you're not stale, but you're growing. Because that is the purpose, right? It's not just to get a ticket to heaven, but it's to become more and more like Jesus. So verses 25 and 26 remind us, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. See, you can either walk in step with the Spirit, or you can walk in step with the world, or you can walk in step with your own rational ways. And that would be a fool, right? A fool always thinks they know best, and they do things their way. Or you can walk in step with the Spirit, which means you're depending on the Spirit and you're checking with the Spirit and you're talking to the Spirit to do life. So in order for us to continually walk with the Spirit, we need to be intentional about it. Because it says, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. That's what happens if we do not walk in step with the Spirit. Why? Because our flesh takes over. We should be really afraid of our flesh. Because the flesh is always against what the Spirit of God is doing in us. So we should not satisfy it. That's what it means to put to death the deeds of the flesh. So you feel like killing somebody, you don't kill them, right? You feel like telling them off, you don't do it. You hold back, you pull back, and you put to death those things that you desire to do, or your flesh desires to do. Think about that. What does it mean for you to walk in step with the Spirit? Have you ever considered that? The acts of the flesh are obvious, and they're listed in 19 through 21. Orgies, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, factions, envy, witchcraft, idolatry. Those things have not been eradicated from our flesh. They're still there, latent. So either we nurture the Spirit of us in us and learn to walk in step with the Spirit, or we nurture the flesh. It does not mean you're not a Christian, but it does mean that you'll have a lot of discipline to go through. Because God will eradicate those things from us. And he doesn't numb anything when he's doing surgery. So it's better to submit and to learn to walk in step with the Spirit. Then we can enjoy the fruit of the Spirit, joy, peace, kindness, love, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So, verses 15 and 17 warn us about what the other choice produces in us. If we choose not to walk in step with the Spirit, if we choose to be lazy about it, and we think, well, I'm saved, you know, eventually God will work out his will in me, and we don't cooperate, because the Bible does say, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Does not mean that you earn your salvation. It's work it out. So verses 15 and 17 warn us about what the opposite produces, not walking in step with the Spirit. This is what it produces, and this is why this letter was written to the people of God in those days. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Isn't that sad? So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So you don't have to kill the flesh necessarily. If you walk in step by the Spirit will give you the grace to overcome that tendency, and it will kill the flesh. It's by the power of the Spirit. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh, here it is, desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. Don't you feel that conflict at times? Well, you want to do this, but then you really know you should do this. Well, that's the conflict that this passage is talking about. So who is going to have the victory? The Spirit wants to give you the victory, but he will never force you. You need to yield. You need to submit. Didn't we just sing about it? Victory in Jesus. That's how we get the victory in Jesus. We submit to the work of the Spirit. We give up. We give in. So I say, let me read it again. Live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do, other versions say, so that you don't do what you want to do. Because we desire to do what is right. That's God in us. We always want to do what is right. But we don't always do it, do we? So who wins? When we want to do good and we don't do it, who do you think won that battle? The flesh. You don't want that. So as we think about victory, and as we think about being shaped and molded into the image of Christ so that we look more like him, I want to read to you Isaiah 11, 1 through 5. This is the Spirit mentioned back in the Old Testament. And it has to do with what the Spirit is and what the Spirit wants to impart to each one of us. Listen. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from his roots. A branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom, understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness a sash round his waist. See the Spirit of Jesus and the Spirit of God there. the third person of the Trinity, Holy Spirit, is mentioned here. And according to this passage, the Spirit is working in us these virtues: wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, which is strength of character, knowledge, piety, and the fear of the Lord. Let's look at what each of these means, because this is what God wants to do in us. If you let him, you can fight him. I advise you not to do that. Wisdom is the ability to see things from God's perspective, to value divine truths, guidelines, and concepts. Understanding is having a deeper insight into the mysteries of faith and God's teaching. It's not understanding earthly things, it's understanding the mysteries of faith and God's teaching. Counsel, the gift of right judgment, has to do with wisdom too, of course. The gift of right judgment, helping to make good choices and offer good, wise advice. Fortitude, courage, and endurance to stand firm in faith during trials, tribulations, challenges. Knowledge, the capacity to comprehend the meaning of God's will and the truths of the faith. Piety, a deep sense of reverence, respect, and loving obedience toward God. I love that. Do you hear that? Loving obedience. When you obey God, you are loving him. It's one of the greatest expressions of love, when you obey God. And then there's the fear of the Lord, a sense of awe and wonder in God's presence, leading to a desire to avoid displeasing him. So it's not like you're scared or terrified of God. You're afraid of offending him. You want to bless him. The purpose of these virtues are for our sanctification, which simply means becoming more like Christ. They are given, or they want to be worked by the Spirit of God in every believer to shape our character, to foster holiness, and help us grow in our relationship with God, in our intimacy with God. You know what that means? That means you don't just know about God, you know God. There's a big difference. Knowing about God and knowing God. We can't make this fruit appear in our lives, but we can prepare the soil for it to grow. How are you working that soil in your heart? How much seed are you putting in your mind, in your heart? Where does the seed come from? Are you putting enough seed in the soil of your heart and mind for the Word of God that is anointed by the Spirit of God to produce the fruit of Jesus in you? More of him. That's what we want. Let's pray. Just talk to God for a few seconds, and then I'll close in prayer. Father, may the fruit of the Spirit increase. Be healthy, wholesome, luscious fruit is what we want in our lives. Forgive us, Lord, for the times when we're lazy about tilling the soil of our hearts. Forgive us, Lord, for the times when we think we have enough. It'll do. That's not what you did. You gave us the very best of what you had. And we're called to do the same thing today. So, Father, by the grace that the Spirit gives, we pray that we would increase our hunger for more of you, that we would not be lukewarm, for you say you will spit out the lukewarm out of your mouth. We want to be on fire for you. We want to be faithful. We want to grow in our love for you and for one another. Father, I pray that you will increase in us more of Jesus. Let us be less of us and more of you, Holy Spirit. Just as John prayed, let me be less, so there's more of you in me. That's what we pray today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.